What is up, everyone? I'm Antonio, and this is Sava FC. I'm here with Anthony and Ben. How you doing, guys?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. So, as we know, it's now February 2nd. So, the most exciting thing we're going to talk about is this whole transfer market from January.
Yeah. You know, the transfer market wasn't as crazy as I thought it would be. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah. It looks like it's more like teams just trying to get players off the books this time.
Right.
Trying to move people around.
Well, I still truly believe that, you know, the impact from COVID, these teams are still struggling and they just have to get rid of those wages that they had on the books before.
Yeah, they're still playing catch up, aren't they, at the moment, with the revenue coming in?
They played for how long without fans?
Oh, in Serie A, they're only playing with 5,000 in the stadium. So, you know.
Right. So many, you know, the revenue that was coming in before isn't there anymore. So it kind of affected this transfer market.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, isn't it? You know, to get back up to where they were before. I mean, we did get into crazy times when they're spending a fortune on transfers. It's come down a little bit and we'll see where it goes.
I think the one team that did a lot to dump off extra money, and we'll get to their transfers later on, is Juventus.
Yeah. Juventus got better all around, if you look at what they did this transfer market.
Yeah, it looks like they've moved a few players around.
Yeah.
Let's have you two guys input on that. You know what I mean? Also, like the two players that went to Tottenham, your views on them.
A lot of people are upset that Kulusevski was sent there because he's a good young player, good midfielder. He didn't get a lot of playing time at Juve, but I'm pretty sure you're going to see a lot of them in Tottenham.
All right. And Bentancur, how was he?
Bentancur started looking good again towards the end of, you know, before he left for Tottenham. So Bentancur is one of those players that it was always weird. Under Allegri, he started to show what his skills and what his talents were. Then Allegri left and he kind of just got lost in the shuffle. He wasn't performing anymore. And now Under Allegri, he was starting to look good again. So it's surprising that they got rid of him right when they did.
Do you think they just moved him on for money? Because of the forward they signed. I'm not going to say his name anymore because he's disappointed me.
I think they had to, Ben. I think they didn't feel like they were going to strike a deal to get rid of Ramsey. So they had to move some pieces. And unfortunately, Kulusevski and Bentancur got the axe. I mean, Kulusevski should have stayed over Bentancur, in my opinion. He's a young, promising player. The guy, when he played for Parma, was unbelievable. Staple of the team. And then at Juve, he was starting to get some time, but they just couldn't keep him on the books. They had to get rid of him.
Right.
Yeah. Did you see that Ramsey went at the very end?
Yes.
Yep. At the very last second.
Very last second. Do you think you're paying some of the wages there? Or not? Sorry, not you, like Juventus?
No, as far as I understand, they let him go on a free transfer so that they're not paying any of the wages.
Wow. It was on 400,000 a week.
It's unbelievable.
That is insane because at 400,000 a week, you need to be a pretty high caliber player to be making that.
Yeah. Well, it's just a free transfer situation, isn't it? You know,
this is how Juve got themselves in trouble. They got themselves in trouble because what they were doing is they were signing free transfers, but paying them outrageous amounts in wages. And sure enough, they couldn't keep up with doing that. Sometimes it's almost better to pay the transfer fee in lower wages.
Right.
I think you're probably right, actually. Yeah, makes it a lot easier.
Absolutely. So, but listen, them getting rid of Ramsey, bringing in Vlahovic, Zakaria, and this kid Gatti, who apparently seems pretty promising, they just got younger and reinforced themselves for years to come. So,
Gatti that you're talking about, Antonio, we're gonna call him Freddie Katz because his name's Federico Gatti, and Gatti, and it translated in English is Katz. So we're going to call him Freddie Katz. The story behind that signing is hilarious. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that, Antonio?
Yeah. So listen, I don't know the truth behind it, but apparently it seems like Torino was after this player and Juve, also located in Torino, to spite them, went after this player and bought him before they could.
I hope he turns out to be good, but at the same time, you know, being that I'm not a big Juventus fan at all, kind of hoping he's a dud.
Listen, this is the cool thing about Gatti, though. As of 2 or 3 years ago, instead of playing soccer, he was working construction. So now he's in the league, Serie A. It's pretty cool.
Good story.
Yeah.
That's now, a cool story.
Okay. We'll end it off on this about Juve. I have to say, out of all the teams that, you know, made some moves, they definitely position themselves to get into the top three now until the end of the season. Right. Juve is going to cause some problems in the league.
Now, we can't end the Juve transfer story until we mention one particular player that they picked up that Ben doesn't want to name, but we have to, and that's
Vlahovic. Yeah. We don't want to talk about him. We spent our whole January window chasing him, not getting him, and ended up with no players.
Right.
They did really well.
Right, because they were Arsenal was looking just at him and nobody else. But the thing with Vlahovic is that, you know, at 21 years old, this kid, he's the real deal. Let's be honest. You know, the amount of goals that he scores, what he did for Fiorentina was pretty amazing. Anyone that thinks that this kid's not good probably should stop watching Serie A and maybe watch, I don't know.
MLS.
Yeah, there you go. This kid is that good. When you're watching him, anytime he touches the ball, he looks like he's going and putting that ball on the back of the net.
Listen, he's just a winner. Vlahovic is a winner. When asked why he chose Juve, like, and this is why I love this kid. When asked why he chose Juve, obviously Juve's motto is fino alla fine, which means until the end. And he goes, that matches my DNA. He goes, that's how I play, all the way until the end. And then he obviously chose the number 7 shirt. The last person to wear number 7 for Juventus was Cristiano Ronaldo. When they asked him, you know, how much weight and pressure does the 7 put on you? He looks at the reporter and he goes, I just chose 7 because it was the closest number to 9. So even the way he's handling the media and like the comparisons to Ronaldo. And then the last thing that really impressed me, they were talking about his game and how he tries to always, you know, stay elevated and focused. He goes, listen, I'm always putting in extra work on the field, extra work in the gym. He goes, but when I'm not on the pitch or at the gym, he goes, I'm working on my mental game. He goes, I feel like there's always something that I could be doing to improve how I play. And he goes, and I feel like Juve's always doing the same. That's why we're a match made in heaven.
He kind of reminds me of Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter just knew what to say to the media. He was a class act. He always said the right things. I can see this kid being the captain at 22, 23 years old at Juve.
He won't sniff the captaincy while Chiellini is there.
Well, that's why I said 22, 23. Chiellini's only going to be there maybe another year, 2 years before he retires.
But anyway, let's go across the bond. Ben, anything interesting happened in...
Well, we can go first with Aubameyang going to Barcelona.
You must be pretty excited about that.
I am excited about that, to be honest. So first, everyone was reading about it, saying it was going to be a loan situation. So he'd be back within 6 months. And then at the last minute, he's gone on a free transfer. So it's freed up like 25 million, which we probably need.
Bring me into the mind of an Arsenal fan. I mean, Aubameyang almost made that whole deal blow up because he wanted more money from Barcelona. What is this guy going through?
I don't know. But at the end, I mean, he had to take a big, big pay cut. So I'm not sure if they've done it or have they given him a longer contract to make up for the money?
As far as I knew, he ended up accepting the wage cuts.
Yeah, but did they give him a longer contract? You know what I mean? That would account for that. Or maybe he's got other stuff built into that, you know, like once they get their financial situation sorted out, he'll get a bonus at the end of it.
Possibly.
I know Aubameyang is signed until 2025 with Barcelona.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a 3-year contract. So basically he's getting his wages with an extra year, I would say.
Probably.
Because they're doing that with a lot of their players, aren't they? They're cutting all their salaries at the moment. But I'm sure they're going to work something out where they've extended the contracts. I mean, wasn't that what they were trying to do with Messi before?
Yes.
Give him a longer contract so they could pay him what he wanted to be paid, but over a longer time. Even if he left, they'd still pay him.
Ben, with Messi, it was actually a little bit more difficult because there's some law that you have to get paid, I believe. And do you remember if it was 60 or 70% of your current wages if they renegotiate the contract?
Yes.
It was some amount like that, and what ended up happening is with Messi, they tried to renegotiate, but they couldn't because he was still too expensive for them.
Yeah, at the present time, so they resorted their loans and everything else out. But, I mean, there was even rumour he was, before he had to leave them, he was going to sign like a 5-year contract, play for 2, and go to the MLS for 3, but they'd still be paying him. So there's all swings and roundabouts, you know?
Wow, right. So there's a potential of him coming to MLS. That just... smells like trouble for him in his personal life. So, but he's not the only one that Barcelona signed. Barcelona signed Adama as well, Traore. And I think he's going to probably be one of the most successful signings of this winter over there because, you know, as we all know, La Liga's pace is completely different than the Premier League. So I think his size, his speed, he's going to be a machine.
I think he's a monster. When you watch him play, I know everyone's going on about his stats and not the best, but when you see him, no one can stop him. Once he stands someone up and goes, that's it. There's no one catching him.
And the added bonus is that he's back home. So now he's going to go. I think he's going to go on a tear. It's going to be fun to follow him.
Interesting. Any views from you guys about Frank Lampard being the manager of Everton now?
From what I read, he's got a vacation already booked in 3 months. So
he's going somewhere else in 3 months, yeah?
You know, Everton, it seems like they've been signing managers once every 3 months.
I think they're possibly Watford as well.
Yeah, Watford as well, because Watford just got rid of Ranieri, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just brought in Hodgson.
Look, I prefer Hodgson over Lampard. I don't understand the Lampard move at all. I don't think it's the right direction for them.
Yeah, a lot of them are saying that on the radio over here as well, saying he's quite lucky, like he was a good player. Plus his uncle's Harry Redknapp, so he seems to be helping him out, getting into clubs also.
I don't see what he's going to do for Everton. They needed somebody a little bit more experience there to help turn things around. And they're not getting that out of Lampard.
Maybe the fact that, you know, he's not too far removed from playing, he might be able to help the players, you know, mentally.
They just signed two players that haven't played a lot of football for ages.
Okay.
They signed Dele Alli.
I saw that.
And Van der Beek.
So Van der Beek and Dele Alli are both good additions.
But they haven't played a lot. That's the only problem, you know. They put all their money into them, basically.
On paper, they sound like good signings. Now, how's Lampard going to integrate them into the team? How are they going to fit with everybody that's already there? You know, there's a lot of pieces that have to fit into this puzzle for Everton to start, you know, performing again.
No, 100%. I mean, they're so close to the relegation at the moment. I think they're playing Newcastle very soon. I was reading the other day.
Which Newcastle also went out and made a splash in acquisitions to try and stay up in the Premier League this year.
Yeah, they brought a few players in, haven't they?
I think they brought in exactly what we had said they needed to bring in, 5 players.
Yeah, they've got some good players. I think the centre-back is not well-known, but I think you'll do well for him. Dan Byrne from Brighton, 6'7". Left-back, but he's been playing centre-back. He's so tall, 6'7". Unbelievable. They brought in the Brazilian from Lyon.
Oh, that's right.
They got Chris Wood, didn't they?
Yep.
They got the right back.
Who is the right back's name? Can I think of it right now? Kieran Trippier. That's who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a good signing, though, like for what they wanted?
I think
he's an upgrade.
Listen, I think he's an upgrade. I think he's going to bring experience to the team. Kieran Trippier has played on some pretty successful teams. So I don't see why he wouldn't be a good addition to help turn that locker room around and just the mentality of the club.
No, I get you, but you just said it there, successful teams. Now he's in a relegation scrap. It's a little bit different, isn't it? Normally you need some players that have been in and around that. But I agree with you. He's a 100% upgrade.
Maybe he brings that experience of being on a successful team to this team and can push it on to the younger guys. Who knows?
Yeah. Do you know anything about Gomez?
I do not.
Centre midfield, so we'll see where he goes. I mean, a lot of people talk about him, say he's a good player, but we'll see if he adapts pretty quickly.
And the one thing I want to say, though, is looking at the Premier League, it seems like none of the top clubs besides Liverpool made any meaningful acquisitions.
What they do over here, they don't normally make them signings in January because it's too hard or you're paying too much money, you know. They normally put all their process into doing the summer. I mean, I do agree. I mean, Liverpool, they signed, what's his name, Antonio?
Was it Diaz?
Yeah, they signed
about Diaz.
Yep. So they got him, Tottenham were after him, and he's gone to he's meant to be a very, very good player. His stats are excellent. Right. But they're the only one, aren't they?
They're the only ones that I saw make a meaningful splash. And you know.
Chelsea have done nothing. Man U have done nothing. Man City just signed the young kid from Brazil, but he's not going to play now. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You're right, yeah. Maybe they're set. I mean, they're all planning for the summer. I think it's all the other clubs, isn't it, really, that have gone for it. Tottenham had to do something, didn't they, for the new manager? What's his name?
Right. Tottenham needed to get something in now. And obviously, like I said, it was surprising to me that none of the top clubs went after anybody in Italy and said, yeah, it seems like our winter transfer market sometimes is more meaningful than the summer transfer market. So it's not surprising to me that an Italian coach wanted reinforcements now, right away.
Oh, great. Like you said at the beginning, I think in England, they're just trying to get people off the books, basically.
Right.
Trim it down. Anthony, who's your favorite signing?
My favorite signing is Christian Eriksen. He's coming back from the cardiac arrest from the Euro Cup. And I think it's good for him. It's good for football. It's a good all-round story.
Yeah, it's massive, isn't it? I think it's good for Brentford as well. He's a world-class player. Do you know what I mean? And I was listening to the radio the other day. I mean, every ground he's going to go, even Arsenal, is going to get a great reception, isn't he? After everything he's been through, which is tremendous.
I think he'll do well for Brentford. I think it's going to take him a bit to get back into that pace, but I think he's going to do good.
All right. Antonio, who do you think your winners and losers are of the transfer market in January?
I always have to put my team there, but we're going to start off with the losers. Napoli. We didn't sign anybody. Napoli signed Alex Twanzebe and called it a market. They said that was it.
They also lost their best player.
Who did they lose?
Insigne is going to be gone at the end
of the season. Yeah, but we still have him, so I'm not concerned about that. We needed reinforcements now, and we didn't end up getting any. We were talking about getting a outside back, Oliveira, but that never ended up coming through. So for me, Napoli are losers in this transfer market. They needed something to help them push in the European competition, Europa League. They needed something to help them push into the top four of Serie A. They didn't do it. So hopefully the squad that we have can get it done, but I don't think so.
I may have to debate you on that. At least they signed somebody with a sort of a household name, right? AC Milan forgot that the transfer market was open.
First of all, Twanzebe is no household name. Ask any Manchester United fan. They've been bouncing that guy around forever just to try and get rid of him somehow. So, secondly, you guys signed Marko Lazetic, which is like the next coming of Ibrahimovic from what everybody says. So
we'll see. He's only 18.
Right. But the way they're describing him, play style and everything else, very closely tied to Ibrahimovic. And that was one of the main reasons that Milan went out and got him now, so that he could learn from under Ibra for the next year or two. And then Ben, for the winner of the transfer market, for me, it's Juventus. I think they had the best market out of anybody. That includes Premier League, Serie A, La Liga. They went out and did what they had to do for their team.
No, it seems like they've had a brilliant transfer market, to be honest. Got rid of who they didn't want and brought in who they did want. They look strong.
And they didn't just go out and get players that didn't fit their system. They went out and got pieces to make sure that they could compete right away. All the guys that they brought in, if you look at them, you know, see what they've done past couple of seasons, they're all competitors and can contribute right off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, normally January can be like when people panic, isn't it? But they haven't panicked if they, like you're saying, they've just bought the right players. And it looks like they're going to move up the league and get into top four is what they want, isn't it?
Yeah. Listen, they need that Champions League. They need the revenue. For a club that big, they, one, need the revenue coming in from Champions League. And two, a club that big should be competing in Champions League.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Ben, who do you think is the winners and losers of the Premier League?
It's a tough one. I mean, Aston Villa have done some good buys. They've sharpened up. Not that it's going to affect them this season, but going forward it will do. Newcastle brought in the players that they needed to do, 100%. Not sure about Tottenham. Like, two have come in, yes. A couple have left, but I don't know if they look that much stronger with the ones that have come in.
Right.
Liverpool with the one player, they're probably going after Champions League, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? That's what they're doing. Right. Arsenal, on the other hand, is just, they've just got rid of everyone, haven't they? Not brought anything in. So a little bit the same as Antonio, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? Got rid of everyone, and now we've just got 18 proper players on the books, and that's it for the rest of the season. Two forwards are out of contract in 6 months. Will they get the goals? You know, we've got, still got Xhaka, who's going to get sent off at least another two or three times. So, well. I don't know.
And let me ask you a question. So Maitland-Niles is obviously with Roma now. Arsenal let him go on a loan.
Yeah.
What's up with him? I mean, he debuted right away in the Italian league and he looked good.
No, this is, no one gets it over here. He must just clash with Arteta, because when Arteta first went there, he just got into the England squad. You know, he was playing right or left back. you know, utility player, but he's a good player. But they must have clashed because he didn't play after that, you know. But every time he's come on, and it's not a lot, he's always done a good job. I'd rather have him than Xhaka, to be honest. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a good player. And it was, you know, statistically, I was looking at him, and it seemed like Arsenal wasn't giving him a lot of time.
No, but you can't work out why. Do you know what I mean? It's right. Just sometimes someone doesn't like you as a coach too, like, you know. We've all seen that. And right. It doesn't happen. But I think he is a good player. Do you know what I mean? I think he'll do well in Roma.
Well, I'll tell you what. Mourinho is definitely thanking you guys, because he came in, looks like he's going to be a starter. And they also picked up Sergio Oliveira. Mm-hmm. From Porto, it looks like a different Roma already. Like, Mourinho's going after the types of players that he wants and needs. And these guys, they're going to take off. They're another one that are competing for that top four. I don't know if they're going to get it because of where they are points-wise, but they made two key additions this transfer market.
What position is he playing, Maitland-Niles?
Right now, they have Maitland-Niles at outside back.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's where he did the best over here. I mean, rumors always had it. He wanted to play center midfield. But he was great at the back. Do you know what I mean?
Well, so that's what's funny. When they acquired him, it technically said they acquired midfielder Maitland-Niles, but he was playing defense.
Yeah, that's probably his best position, you know? I think he's a good player.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see him.
Now, Ben, let me ask you. With the departure of Aubameyang, could that have actually helped the team? Maybe he was weighing them down in the locker room and all the...
Yeah, I mean, that can be the fact, can't it? Do you know what I mean? Once you get him out the door, you can all relax and get on with it. Do you know what I mean? It could be a nuisance somewhere. And they weren't going to play him, were they? They made that stand. So even when we were struggling for goals the last month, it was nowhere near the team. So, yeah, it's probably better off without him, which I understand. I just don't understand getting rid of so many players, but not bringing anyone in, you know?
13 players, correct?
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of 13 players.
Probably with younger players and everything. You know, they got rid of 6 senior players in this window, which is a lot of players, you know. So down to 18, some of them are probably injured at the moment as well, you know. So it's very thin on the ground.
It's funny, Ben.
We have no goals. That's the problem.
Just to touch on, like, the players that got released that Anthony brought up, it's always been funny to me because the Premier League's are known for basically signing any young talent that has a sliver of promise just to loan them out for 4 or 5 years continuously. And if that player doesn't work out, then they sell them.
Yep, 100%.
And listen, it's a good way to stay ahead of the curve. So that way, if this player does end up becoming something, you already own
them. Oh, I mean, that's with Chelsea, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Salah was it. Do you know what I mean? They bought all the youngsters. I think Chelsea had like 40 players on loan a couple of years ago. 40 players. I mean, it's unbelievable. They're all good players as well, you know? It's not.
Yeah, but they can't be too happy now that Salah's over in Liverpool.
No, I mean, they said at the time he wasn't good enough to get in the team, but Chelsea's a tough team, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You have to be there, ready, go. Do you know what I mean? If you're not, move you on, bring the next one in. That's why they brought Lukaku in. They don't give you a chance, do they, to grow? You'll be here and there already.
Well, listen, that's the issue with being a big club. I mean, as great as it is being one of the best clubs in the world, you have to put results out right away.
No, yeah. You're challenged, yeah, because there's someone else is going to take your spot if you don't. That's the problem. But it's tough for the youngster as well, isn't it, at a big club, you know, the top clubs. Like, if you look at Mount, he probably only got his chance at Chelsea because they had that transfer ban for a year or so.
Yeah.
If they didn't have that, do you think he'd be in the team? Probably not.
He wouldn't have gotten his chance. No. And sometimes that's all it takes for these kids. They just need that one chance.
Yeah. You know, and then sometimes it's hard for them because they play with good players. If they go to the league down championship, it's very hard to play in that league. It's a different kind of league, different players that you're used to playing with, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Right. And then you've got to try and make your mark and then come back.
I didn't think it was possible to say this, but sometimes some of those championship games seem even more physical than the regular Premier League.
No, they are. They're a lot more physical. They say in the Premier League, you get more time. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Championship, you get the ball smack. You know, someone's on you straight away, or one or two players, you know?
So Ben and Anthony,
one way to mature, but it's not the same as what you're used to in practice and everything else, you know?
No, right. Absolutely. Let me ask you guys one more question. What do you guys think about Leicester City not making a single acquisition this transfer market?
That's a strange one, to be honest, isn't it? Because normally they're around there, aren't they? They're either selling someone or buying someone, you know?
Well, I mean, they've sold out. They've sold players, but same thing. A few of those younger players, players that weren't getting time. But to me, it's mind-boggling that they didn't bring anybody in when they're sitting 10th in the table.
But that could be why, because they're sitting 10th. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they don't feel they can get into Europe this time.
Right. And maybe they're comfortable with what they have. They feel like they can make a push next season. Right.
That's a good shout, though, Antonio. I'll have to look at that one now. See what happens there. Do you know what I mean? Why are they just standing still?
I do have one last question myself. Arteta is getting a new 2-year contract with a huge pay bump. Do you think that's why they really didn't go after anybody towards the end of the transfer market?
I just don't think they could get the players that they wanted to be honest. I think they just left everything for Vlahovic and then nothing happened.
Right.
Normally you should have 2, 3, 4 players lined up, shouldn't you? But they didn't do that.
They probably felt like they had that one in the bag and forgot about everybody else that was available.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't bring a centre midfielder in, to be honest.
Yeah.
It seems like Arsenal is going to be making a push for Victor Osimhen.
For the summer.
For the summer. Yeah, summer's going to be really interesting, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, for my sake and sanity, I hope you guys do not sign Osimhen. He's actually been pretty good for us. But if he does end up leaving for Arsenal, I know that we're going to get compensated in return. Just Newcastle alone offered $140 million for Osimhen and Fabian Ruiz, and we turned down the offer because we felt like it wasn't enough.
Yeah, you got to think about if Newcastle stay in the division, how much money they're going to spend in the summer.
Right. And Newcastle is going to spend enough money to have all new starters and a whole new bench. That's exactly what's going to happen. You know that.
Yep. Yep. Right. 100%. So that's going to be interesting. So hopefully they lose all their games this season. I want to see them go down now.
Yeah.
I still have fun with that.
Listen, Ben, I was looking at their roster. I still don't see them staying up. I just don't.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So the guy that's just come from France, he needs to hit the ground running. Chris Wood up front, he doesn't score a bundle of goals, you know? Are they really that much stronger at the moment? What do you think?
I don't think they are. And then Norwich City has just been surprising me. I mean, there was games where I was like, okay, Norwich is going to lose, and they don't. They're pulling off a win here and there or occasionally a tie. And it's just, okay, Norwich has entered the battle. They're trying to stay up as well. So I definitely think Burnley and Watford are going down. But between Norwich and Newcastle, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and they're bringing other teams with them, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? So it's getting close. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Everton are just above.
So real quick on Newcastle, the next 4 weeks or 4 games looks like this. They're playing Aston Villa, West Ham, Brentford, and Brighton. That could pretty much dictate the rest of the season right there.
I hate to say it. I don't see them getting a single win out of those 4 games.
I'm looking at the moment. They are struggling with that, aren't they?
And then after that, they have Chelsea, Crystal Palace, and Tottenham. Then the Wolves. Then Leicester.
Thing is, every game's tough for them now, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not an easy game. It's not like they've been winning game after game, is it? So every game is tough.
So yeah. Here's the thing. I can see them winning against Crystal Palace. But you said how many games in is that? That was 4 or 5 games in?
Palace are a decent team now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I will know in the next 4 games if they get relegated or not.
Everton's the big game, isn't it?
After that, they're going to need help from the soccer gods above to win against Liverpool and Tottenham and Manchester City.
What's the running like? I mean,
I want to say is crazier things that happened. You never know. Sometimes one of these bottom tier relegation teams could step up and get a win against one of the bigs. So this is going to prove if Newcastle really wants to stay up. If they want to stay in the Premier League, they're going to have to find a way to do it.
Yeah, there's always a team that goes on a run, isn't there?
Right. Right.
Well, I mean, I know you said you think Watford and Burnley are down, but Watford are right there. Burnley have got games in 4 games in hand. You know, it's not, I don't know.
Listen, unless Watford can somehow figure out their managerial issues, I really do see them going down this season. Nobody wants to be there anymore.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, if you look at it, it's not all cut and...
No, absolutely. And I mean, you know, shame on their owner for using Watford and Udinese as like feeder clubs and, you know, just switching money from Italy to England. And even right now, Udinese just sent a player over to Watford to try and stay, you know, above. But I don't think it's going to happen. That's what happens when you treat a club as your moneymaker. If you don't actually own with the intentions to win, at some point in time, you're going to start to fail.
I agree with you. 100%. Going to be interesting. All
right, guys. I think we call it a day for today.
We can, but what we're going to do next is let the Shoreline boys find out who they're going to play in the spring. So after the commercial break, they'll hear who they're playing.
All right. Well, Shoreline boys, I hope you have an easier schedule than Newcastle does, and good luck.
All right. It's going to be exciting times. We'll be back in a bit.
All right, Shoreline boys. This is what you've been waiting for, to hear the teams that you're going to be playing against in the spring of 2022. You ready, Ben?
I'm ready. All right. So U9s. Yep. U9 Chelsea. Teams that you will be playing this spring: CFC Valley, Hartford, CT Rush Central, Sporting CT, Connecticut Rush Shoreline, Vale, Cheshire, and Ajax Premier Club.
Okay, U10, Man City. You guys will be playing Northeast United, Southeast Soccer Club, JCFC Academy, CFC North.
Okay, so Shoreline United, Napoli, you will be playing Inter Connecticut, Cheshire, Ajax Premier, Mendonca, and Bridgeport Premier.
All right. The U12 Newcastle team, you will be playing against CFC Valley, Ajax Premier, Hartford Soccer Club, Sporting, Vale, and FSAFC.
Okay. Shoreline United Leeds, you will be playing CFC North, Cheshire, Connecticut Rush Shoreline, Foundation, FSC North.
U14, Arsenal. We will be playing AC Connecticut, CT Rush, Southeast Soccer Club, Fairfield United, Shelton FC, Jinga FC, and PSC Dynamo.
Okay, Shoreline United, AC Milan. You will be playing Foundation, SC West, Shelton, Foundation, FSC, Cheshire, Vale, Jinga, and Inter Connecticut.
And that concludes the teams that we're playing against in the spring. And what do we have, about a month and a half before the season officially starts? What's it, March 28th? There's actually two months.
That's correct, man. Yeah.
So, boys, it's time to start getting game ready. That means sprinting, running long distance on treadmills, juggling the ball, dribbling the ball in small quarters. We are playing some very good teams.
Yeah, guys, we want to see you out there. Obviously, we're going to be on the turf during the winter. We'll also be doing the Zoom sessions that we want to see you on, so we can monitor how you're getting there and where we're going to be when we start. We'll also be arranging friendly games before the season starts.
Remember, last season, we all did very well. So what's that mean? That means the other teams have your name circled on their calendar. So you have to keep up the same form you had in the fall. You have to be better in the spring. And with that, concludes the show. And for myself, Antonio, and Ben, we'll talk to you next week.